John 13 now, starting in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share or no part with me, no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So, just kind of recap the first, we're looking at Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and then we'll get into Jesus teaching his disciples about his departure and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Then in chapter 17, the true Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is praying for his own, Matthew 18 through the end, crucifixion, the resurrection, the appearances of Christ, and kind of the before Christ ascends back to heaven until he returns again. So we see in verses 4 and 5, Jesus gets up from the meal, he removes his outer garments, takes a towel, wraps around him, pours water in the wash basin, begins washing the disciples' feet and dry them with that towel. So again, we talked last week about the setting. You know, the disciples are reclining on the floor, they're sitting on the floor around a small table. It's not, you know, like Da Vinci's where they're all at a big long table, you know, all staring at the camera. Okay, it's not the image. You know, so they're in a circle, they're in a rectangle, square of some sort, you know, sitting there. And of course, we know, you know, the disciples had been given the command to go prepare, to make the preparation. Jesus told them exactly who to follow, where to go, what, you know, to tell the master of the house, you know, "We're using your upper room." All of that's working out. They fail to designate or hire someone to wash their feet and to do that going in. And again, you know, it wasn't going to defile them or to disturb anything other than that was tradition and custom and what was normally done. And so all of this is going on. And then remember, what starts happening during the supper? What are the disciples doing? They're arguing over who is what. The greatest. You know, well, who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. No, you are, and I am. And, you know, they're fighting about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom and all of this. And so then Jesus just quietly gets up, takes off his robes, puts a towel around him. And they're probably all staring at him like, what is he doing? You know, what's getting ready to happen? And then he just quietly starts going around washing their feet. So all of this is taking place. He comes to Simon Peter. Now, you know, it's interesting. And I researched and did some reading, and I couldn't really find it. And I think somebody asked this last week, but, you know, where did Jesus start? You know, who did he start with? Scripture doesn't say. It could have. Simon Peter might have been the very first one, because all it says is he comes to Simon Peter. So maybe Simon was the first. I don't know. But when he gets to him, which again might have been, you know, I'm a little loud, Paul, I think, or at least up here I am. Maybe it's in the monitor, feeding back up here. That's better. But, you know, maybe, you know, Simon was the first, because we know some things about Simon. We'll talk about that in a minute. But maybe he had went to him first because Simon was kind of the outspoken leader of the bunch. So So maybe it was, you know, let me get through him, and then everybody else will fall in line. Huh? Yeah, pretty much. If anybody's going to be belligerent, it's Peter. So, you know, let me get the hardest first. That was one thing my grandfather always taught me. He died when I was young, but it was always, you know, whenever he'd come to visit, he'd always say, you know, eat what you don't like first. You know, and get that over with. You know, if you don't like something on your plate, just scarf it down and then enjoy the rest of your meal. You know, if you have a task to do, do that first and get it over with, and you can enjoy the rest of your day. So, you know, you get up, you just, okay, you know, if there's something you dread, just do that and get it over with. And then you don't have to worry about it, which makes a lot of sense and has really come in handy often. But he comes to Simon Peter, and Peter just looks at him and he says, you know, Lord, are you going to wash my feet, really? You know, like, are you really going to do this? And Jesus then answers and he says, you know, you don't even understand what I'm doing. You know, so Peter's questioning him, Peter's challenging him, but yet he's challenging out of ignorance. He doesn't understand. He doesn't even know really what's going on here. And Jesus calls him on it. And so what are some things we know about Simon? He's impetuous, right? You know, he's outspoken. All right, where else do we see an example of Peter being outspoken? I don't have these written down, so I just want you to kind of off the top of your head think with me. All right, the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, they're up there and he goes, you want us to build three tabernacles for you guys? They're like, okay, what, you know. Yeah, sometimes, you know, Peter says things and you look at it and you think, what is he thinking? But you know what? We all do that, don't we? We all say things that sometimes and later you go, what was I thinking? Like, why did I say that? That was dumb. But, you know, he's outspoken. He speaks or acts before he thinks, which, again, the Mount of Transfiguration is a good example there. Where else? All right, walking on the water. You know, you know, Jesus says, come on out here. Okay, he jumps in and starts heading out. Then he looks around and goes, what am I doing? You know, he said, do it, and I'm doing it, but I don't know. Then he has second thoughts about it. All right, he's impulsive. All right, where do we see his impulsiveness?
Everywhere.
But, all right, in the garden. All right, I'd probably do that one. When he cut off the guy's ear. Okay, we could probably put that under reckless. Because he draws his sword and cuts the ear off, but that's impulsive also. Anybody else, anything else on impulsive?
Well, after the resurrection, he says, I'm going fishing.
Okay. Yeah. That was a passion, though, for no. The wrong passion for fishing. But we see his passion in cutting off the high priest servant's ear because, you know, he loved Christ. He didn't want him to take him.
Right.
What about when, you know, when Jesus asked the disciples, whom say you that I am? You know, what did he say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know, that didn't even come from you. You know, it's like he just opens his mouth and out it comes, kind of impulsively and in a positive way. It's not always negative. Sometimes some of these can be positives and good things. But, you know, he just speaks. Really, before he thinks, he just comes out and says it. And what Jesus says, you know what? That's a great thing. Yes, that is true. But then what do we see just was a little bit later, you know, and Jesus is telling him, you know, I have to get crucified. And what does Peter say? He says, no, you're not. We'll never let that happen. You know, so again, just that outspoken, you know, talk, speak before you think. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You know, so again, we're falling into that same thing here in John 13. Peter's kind of speaking really before he's thinking. You know, he's saying things without knowing the whole story. So let me, you know, again, another thought that I had. Do you ever feel awkward when someone serves you? I mean, other than, yeah, I know if you go to a restaurant, probably not because, you know, that's a different mindset. But, you know, do you feel awkward when someone is serving you? Why? All right, you don't want to feel like if you're above them or they're below you. Okay, because you feel like, oh, you know, this is something that I should be helping with. You know, and I feel like that often, you know, when we have church fellowship, you know, I feel really awkward, you know, sitting there and being served because I, you know, my mindset is, you know, I'm usually the one serving and helping and doing that. And you just feels weird because it's like, well, that's usually what I'm doing. and so that's what makes it awkward, is often the fact that it's usually something that you're accustomed to doing. And when someone asks you not to do that and to kind of take a break and let them serve or let them assume that responsibility, it becomes very awkward. You know, and you do have a feeling of, you know, like, what am I supposed to do? kind of thing. And, you know, I know my mom's like that. My mom is just always, if she has people over for a meal, cook the meal, serve the meal, clean up, and nobody can do anything. And, just put everything on the counter. And, my sister and us are like, no, we're going to clean up. No, I don't want, stop, don't clean up. And it's like, Mom, just go sit down. No, I can't sit down. And it's like, take a chill pill. Go sit down. Right. But that's just her. I mean, she's accustomed to serving and cleaning and taking care of those things. It's what she's always done. And so to allow somebody to help with that, it's just awkward because that's what, she enjoys doing it. She doesn't mind doing that. And so it becomes somewhat awkward. And of course, as children, we're just wanting to take a burden off of her. It's that catch 22 where she doesn't really want the burden taken off of her. As long as she can continue doing it, she likes to do it. So then he comes and he says, Lord, do you wash my feet? All right, Peter's not really just, I know it's a question mark, but it's not just a question. It's more of a challenge based on the circumstances that he perceives. All right, so, his perception is, all right, we blew it and didn't have anybody wash our feet. And so now Jesus, he's trying to prove a point. He's trying to do something that he shouldn't be doing. And because, he's trying to cover our tracks or cover up our mistake. And so he sees nothing symbolic, nothing in this other than Jesus is doing something that he shouldn't be doing. Because he's the master, he's our leader, and one of us should be doing this.
And they are starting to get the idea of the kingdom. That's why they're part of it, why they're arguing that Christ is the king. So the king doesn't do this.
Right. And yes. And it is dawning on them, that yes, Jesus is the Messiah, he is the king, he is gonna have a kingdom, we're jockeying for positions in this kingdom now. So now why is this king, why is he the one washing our feet? Why isn't he making one of us do that? Because as they're arguing over who's the greatest, obviously one of the 12 is not the greatest. So, they're the ones that should be washing our feet. Kind of thought. And yet he's the one doing this. So he comes and Jesus answers and he says, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. All right, so when does Peter understand this? And I don't mean like a time in his life necessarily, but how do we know that Peter finally understood this?
The book of Acts.
All right, the book of Acts.
All through, he's probably, because of who he is, he becomes a very prominent key figure in the establishing of the church. And many people coming to know Christ because of his impetuous boldness, but now it's backed up with knowing what he's doing.
Okay. All right. So the after the Holy Spirit comes upon them, or he's filled with the Holy Spirit, throughout the book of Acts.
Well, tradition has it that he doesn't want to be crucified like Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. I agree with that. All right. How about 1 Peter 5? Right. Remember, First Peter's writing here, and what does he say? You who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. I think by that point, I think this is evidence that he got it. Because what's his whole point? God will exalt you when the time comes. You know, you don't have to fight and fuss and argue about it. When Jesus is ready to exalt you, he'll take care of that. You know, all you need to do is humble yourself. You know, be humble, be a servant. You know, realize that God is in control, God is in charge, and you humble yourself under him. Realize, yeah, he does have a mighty hand. You know, he can do whatever he wants. And so be subservient to that and be willing just to serve him and not be proud. And as a result, then he'll exalt you when he's ready. And so the lesson that he would understand and would learn. And Peter came to realize that humble service is what? Just obedience to Christ. That humility of, I'm willing to obey. You know, whatever it is you have for me, that's what I'm willing to do. You know, and that, again, as Clarissa said, I think, you know, just being willing to subject to the crucifixion and to say, you know what, I'm not even worthy to be crucified like Christ was. You know, flip me upside down and let me die that way. You know, if I'm going to go, you know, I'll just go even in a more more hurtful, more, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Horrific,
thank you. Horrific way than a normal crucifixion. And so Jesus was demonstrating what the ultimate sacrifice was, wasn't he? In their opinion, it was a very sacrificial act. And yet it was a picture, it was figurative of what he would do for them on the cross. And again, that's what, you know, none of the disciples fully grasped that quite yet. So, you know, we pick on Peter a little bit because he was the outspoken one. But none of them understood all that Christ was trying to picture for them here. Not quite yet. So he comes and then Peter says, "You will never wash my feet." All right, so kind of, you know, again, bold statement coming from him to saying that to his master, his Lord, his King, saying, "You'll never do this." You know, because again, what does it show? That he hadn't humbled himself. He wasn't willing to subject himself to the ultimate total control of Christ. You know, because if your King, if your master comes to you and says, "I'm going to do this," what, you don't go, "No, you're not." You say, "Yes, Lord, if that's what you choose to do, then that's what you, you know, I'm whatever, you know. You know, you do as you see fit." So Peter's challenging him here. And why? Because he missed the point. He didn't understand. Instead of thinking about it, instead of trying to figure out what Christ was going to teach them through this, he just simply felt shame. In the fact that, okay, I don't want my King doing this. I don't want my Lord doing something this menial to me. And so he was convinced that it was a dishonorable thing for Christ to wash his feet, and he didn't want to see Christ dishonored. And so the mindset was, you know, you won't wash my feet because you can't dishonor yourself. You know, you are the King. You are the Master. And if you do this, it's not, you know, it's your... You are hurting yourself. You're hurting your reputation. You know, you're hurting who you are. You know, so Peter's like, "You won't do this." But again, is it Peter's responsibility or is it our responsibility to protect the name of Christ? No. All right, we are to live out the name of Christ. But you know what? Is God capable of defending himself? Yes, of course he is. And so it's not up to us to, yes, we speak the truth. Yes, we speak. We can be outspoken for him. We can defend to a degree. But ultimately, you know what? God will defend himself as he sees fit and as he chooses to do that. You know, we don't have to do that for him. So then Jesus says, "If I don't wash you, you have no share with me or no part with me, no inheritance with me." All right. So now I think the light bulb comes on a little bit. You know, so Jesus is answering him straightforward and directly. He's saying, you know what, if I don't wash you, then you have no part with me. You're not going to be associated with me any longer. You know, so this washing is something that has to take part. You know, and when he says there's no share, no part, no inheritance with me, that's really devastating for Peter because, you know, again, they've just been arguing over, you know, who's going to do what in the kingdom. And now Jesus is saying, if I don't wash your feet, you don't even have a part in the kingdom. You know, you're just going to be an outcast. So now Peter is kind of going back on, I'm sure that put him in turmoil. And now he's kind of in a spiral trying to figure out, okay, now what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know, John obviously is showing us some future things. So there's two possible meanings for this sentence, both of which are true, of course. But we can look at it as symbolic, all right? And we can say that Jesus meant unless he washed away Peter's sin by his death on the cross, then Peter could have no relationship with him, all right? And that is true, correct? All right, because if our sins aren't washed by the blood of Christ, then we can't have a relationship with him. All right, or it could be a literal thing where Jesus actually meant, if I don't physically wash your feet, then you won't learn the lesson of humility. And so it's through the act of humbling yourself and allowing me to do this deed to you that you're going to learn humility. And I would say that it was a combination of both. That was the physical act of washing their feet and making them or giving them the opportunity to humble themselves and allow Christ to do that, taught them humility, taught them how to be humble. But then on the flip side, we do know, because as we get into it a little bit more, that the washing is what? It has salvific implications to it. And so it is both things there. So then Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. All right. So I think this is about where the light came on in Peter's head. Not that Peter looked like that, but that was the best I could do. But Peter got the message, but he still missed the point, didn't he? He understood, okay, I want to have an inheritance with you. I want a part in the kingdom. I don't want to get cut off. But he still missed the point of the value and the meaning of what Christ was getting ready to do. So he didn't want to be excluded from the inheritance. And he thought that this additional washing would ensure him a better position or a greater reward. If getting my feet washed gives me a spot in the kingdom, then, if you wash everything, that makes me even more important. And it'll even raise me to a higher level in the kingdom. And then Jesus says to him here, he says, the one that has been bathed, or who is bathed, does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. And we'll get into that next week. We'll pause there for a minute. Because it's kind of different train of thought here. But Father, thank you for the time this morning as we look into your word. Help us to be willing to learn humility. And help us to learn to humble ourselves first and foremost, and to realize that you, as our King, as our Master, as our Lord, are willing to do as you see fit, and that it's our responsibility to just submit to your will and to do as you guide and as you lead. And I pray that you bless the service to follow. Be with Pastor Sean, fill him with your spirit. In Christ's name, amen.